Today is Mother's Day, and I was telling a friend of mine that I get to teach this morning, and she looked at me kind of funny. She said, "I don't think I ever heard a woman teach on Mother's Day." And I said, "I don't think I did either." So, welcome to the new millennium. We're going to have a woman preach on Mother's Day. And what does a woman talk about on Mother's Day? That is the question of the hour. And I have asked God that like a lot of times ever since I found out I was going to do this. And this song came to mind, and I thought, wow. If there's one thing a mother has to know, it's that all things are possible in Christ Jesus. And that the things that he purposed and the things that he planned will come to pass. We just have to step into line with him. Now, that takes a lot of pressure off of us, doesn't it? Well, not really. It does. Our pressure is learning to die to self. If we stay dead and alive in Christ, then the walk is so much easier. I can testify to that, being one that likes to resurrect myself on a regular basis. I understand the struggles that we have when the Lord comes back and says, you know, if you just die to yourself and do it my way, you'd be a lot happier. I'm like, are we going to talk about this again? He says, well, yeah. And then I die, and then I go, you know, the V8 thing. I know this, God. So, first of all, I have to tell you, last night my family and I all got together, and we celebrated Mother's Day early because when you have children who are married, then they have two families to visit on Mother's Day, and it worked out really well until our baby got married. See, everybody's mother did supper. I prefer lunch because then they all go home and I get to relax in the evening, but and everybody, it just worked like clockwork until the youngest one got married. And guess what? Her mother always does lunch. And she's bound to lunch because her son's wife always does supper. So I'm not just messing up my family's, I'll be messing up their family, and I'm messing up another family. It's just not worth it. So I said, I don't care what day we get together. I just want to get together. So last night, we all went out to pizza because my daughter-in-law, who has children, I am not going to ask her to cook for me because she's a mother, and she needs a break as much as I do. She probably needs it more. She has five little ones. I just have the joy of being the grandma. It's not as hard or time-consuming. So we went to Pizza Hut. We all had pizza. The family all gathered, all but the one daughter who lives in Wisconsin with her family. And then we decided we can't just go home, so let's go bowling. Well, there's one bowling alley in Ford City has this bowling night thing, and you bowl in the dark, the glow-in-the-dark thing, and it's cheap, and you bowl from 8 till 11. Well, I have to tell you, my plan was to be home by 10. My husband said he thought it was going to be 9:30, so he was really thinking we're going to go bowl a game or two and go on home. Instead, we bowled for 2 hours. Well, let me rephrase that. They bowled for 2 hours. After the third game, I'm like, I'm not going to be open my Bible in the morning. I can't get my fingers to open. But the good news is we did boys against girls, and the women across the board beat all four games. I'm just saying. God's blessing on mothers continues. Well, it is Mother's Day. He was kind. I mean, the guys didn't do bad. They gave us a good competition. We just won every time. Anyways, it was a joy to be with my family. And we did. We laughed. We talked. The kid, grandkids, they bowled up a little storm of their own, and they had bumpers. We really kind of need those bumpers sometimes, but we sucked it up. We're grown-ups. But, you know, going through all of this, I told everybody yesterday I was going to brag on the fact that the women won because it's Mother's Day. Now, if it was Father's Day, I wouldn't tell the story because we want to honor fathers on Father's Day. But today is our day, ladies, and we started last night. You know, being a mom is an incredible privilege and a difficult, difficult task that without the grace of God, we would all just pack it up and go to Hawaii or something and live in a cave. Because we as women have been created to nurture, to care for, to train, and to raise up our children. Not that the husbands don't have a massive role in that, and I'm not in any way putting down the role as a husband and a father, because that is huge. And that is why God gave us a husband and a wife, because no one should be doing it alone. If we have to, God is there, because he is faithful no matter what we face to always be there and to help us walk through anything we have to walk through. But the purpose of God to have a husband and a wife come together to become parents of children who are convinced that their way is the only way and their time frame is what the world should be going on. And we all know that that's how mothers feel and that's how fathers feel. And we all can't have the world go the way we want if everybody wants to go a different way. And so God brought order, and he brought his word to us that we can refer to in every situation of our life. So I said to the Father, I don't want to talk about Proverbs 31. That is not my favorite chapter. It is not, because every time you hear about the Proverbs 31 woman, you realize how much you fall short of the glory of God in your life. And it's supposed to be an encouraging day. Women, we are to be encouraged. It's Mother's Day. So I'm not going to talk about what we don't do. I want to talk about what God has called us to do. Because the one verse I really do like in Proverbs 31 is where the children will rise up and bless you, and your husband will brag on you. I like that one. You guys like that one? That's a promise we are all looking forward to. And so as we trudge through life with our children and our responsibilities and that constant knowing of, I want to be a good mom and I want to be a good teacher and I want to be a good child of the king and I want to be a good wife and I want my house to be clean and I want my food to always taste good and I want some time to myself, and try to figure out how to get all that into one little package is sometimes difficult. But in God, all things are possible. So what God had me go to was Proverbs 19:14, and it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, my God, my rock, and my defense. Now, I looked up meditation. For those of us who think we know what it means and are hoping we're right, because then we sound better when we talk. And it means, meditation is thought. It is thinking. It is pondering. It is contemplation, consideration, reflection, deliberation, concentration. Now, if the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart is to be pleasing to the Lord, then I need to really be aware of where my thoughts go. I have to guard my heart, because out of it flows the wellsprings of life, we're told in Proverbs. I have to guard my thoughts. I have to make sure that what I am thinking about lines up with the word. I have to remember that if I do not guard where my mind goes, then I am not going to have a very good guard on where my mouth goes. Because we are also told that out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth will speak. And I remember when the Lord brought that to my mind years ago. It's like one of those moments when you go, that's like mine. You're responsible. Ooh. Oh God. Okay, God, this is our goal for the period of the season that I'm in. You have to remind me to listen to what comes out of my mouth. Because I can't compare myself to a lot of women in the Bible, but I can compare myself to Peter. You know, the guy who spoke first and then got rebuked second and then repented third. Peter was an awesome man of God, but, you know, he and I have a few tendencies together that we just kind of like to run in and go, why am I here again? What was I thinking? I shouldn't have come here. Why did I come here? So I needed God to help me to remember, to listen. Because when I get going, blah, 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 you know, I don't always hear what I'm saying. I'm just talking because I'm a talker. And I talk a lot, and I have a lot to say, and I like sometimes what I say. But when I'm listening, then I don't always like what I say. Because it's not the times when you're angry that you don't know what you're saying is not good. Because you're angry, and you don't really care what comes out your mouth, because at that moment, you just have to say what you have to say, which, by the way, is sin, and I'm not endorsing it at all. Because we are to be a people of self-control. But what I am saying is there are times we are aware of what is coming out of our mouth because it is so large in our heart that if we don't let it come out our mouth, we think our heart is going to blow up. It's the times when you're just having normal conversation. It's the times when you hear a story about a child who was killed in a car wreck because the car went off the bridge and the child drowned in the car. And the next time you drive by a body of water with your child or your grandchild, the story comes back to your mind. And then you begin to concentrate on what you've heard and think about that story and remember how horrible it would be and think, what if that were to happen to me? Oh, God, what if this happened and what if that happened? And then we begin to speculate and imagine all these things. And what happens? You were never afraid before then. And now fear has an opening to torment you. And then you begin to make unrealistic decisions based on something that could maybe happen. Why? Because it happened to somebody else. When you hear a story about a woman who went to the doctor because she had a little mole on her shoulder, and she finds out it's cancer and that it's in her bones, and now she's going to die, and she's leaving two little children behind, and oh my goodness, I have this spot, and my mother has this spot, and my friend has this spot, and what if it's this? And I heard this story, and you begin to think about it and concentrate on it, and the next thing you know, you are bound by fear of something happening to your physical body because you heard a story about somebody who got sick, and there's such a correlation to it. The word is so clear, and I've just picked out a couple scriptures, but the word is clear that we are to guard our thoughts. And as women, let's face it, we have a lot of them. That's why they say women have to talk so many extra words more than men, because men just like to sit together and grunt. And I say, what was that? He just poured his heart out to you, and you went, eh. And he goes, that's what we do. I'm like, well, that's not what we do. We have lots of things to share with our friend. You should have encouraged them, and you should have quoted the word, and you should have prayed, and you should have. And my husband looks at me like I have two heads, because we live in two different worlds. And that's okay, because that's what brings balance. Because sometimes I have good thoughts, and my husband says, you know what, yeah, you're right, I should have said that. And sometimes he says to me, maybe you just need to not talk so much. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, that's probably a truth, too. And we help to balance one another out. What we do with the things that we hear and what we do with the things that we see are our responsibility, not just as women, but as men. Because when you find out that the taxes are going up and your income's going down, and we already had trouble paying the taxes last year, how are we going to do it this year? And we don't know where the money is going to come from. And then on top of that, the refrigerator isn't working quite right, and the dryer just broke. And of course, your car has so many miles on it, you don't know how much longer it's going to last. And you start thinking and start wondering, and then that weight of your responsibility that you have as the provider of the family starts to go through your head, that pressure, that knowing, that wondering, that figuring, that concentration that you place on those items. And I can't tell you enough. I can't emphasize it enough. We have to allow ourselves to become aware of where we go. Where you're going? Oh, I don't know. I was just thinking. Thinking about what? Oh, I don't know. Just kind of, you know, thinking. Well, what are you thinking about? Oh, I don't know. You ever have those conversations? You're like, well, you got to be thinking about something. I mean, you don't just not know what you're thinking. But sometimes we so zone out, we don't even consider where we've been. But God wants us to be a people who are alert and who are aware of where our minds are so that the things that come out of our mouth bring glory to God. They uplift the people around us. When we are not careful about what comes out of our mouth, then we testify of who God is not as if he was. And people want to know why they need to serve Jesus if Christians are fearful. Well, I'm fearful without Jesus, so what's the difference? And I still get to live my own life. Well, they're worrisome. Well, I'm worrisome, and I don't have Jesus, so I think, why should I change? When they hear people putting other people down because they've considered and thought about that person's wrong, and it's my responsibility to tell them no more. A lady at work that I spoke to about her perspective of what she thinks things should be like. And so when she's upset and she waits and she waits and she waits and it brews and it brews and it brews and this thing starts stirring around in her belly, and then all of a sudden, after all of her consideration and after all of her thinking and all her concentration, she just blurts out in front of everybody in the whole room her opinion about that person without using a name, which everybody knows because we're a small crowd, about what they're doing, which everybody knows because we all saw it, and just blasts them because she's had enough, and this has got to stop. And I explained to her that, you know, you can't do that. Because number one, you're a believer, and you represent Jesus. Number two, that's not who you are. See, it might be who you used to be, but it's not who you are now. Because now you're a new creation in Christ. So you have to remember that what is yours, and what is not yours is not yours. And if it bothers you, you have to learn how to give that back to the Lord and say, God, this isn't mine. And I can't do this. Because what happens is when she does that, and then a week later talks about God at church and this wonderful teaching she heard, the people who don't know Jesus kind of wonder, well, what's, you know, I can do that too. I can talk about whatever, and I can lose control of my temper, but I don't have to serve Jesus to do that. I can do that because that's in my old man. That's my nature to get angry and grumpy when I don't like something. So you all are getting the point here. And all I'm doing is building a building stone. Because I want you to understand that because of out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak, you want to speak life. You want to speak hope. The word tells us that our faith is built from hearing the word of God. Now, as a believer, God has already given me an allotment of faith. And if this is my faith, which according to Ephesians 6 is my shield, so when the fiery darts of the enemy come, I got a shield. Fire goes out. Heart's safe. Is this going to be big enough for me? Probably. But, you know, some people aren't very good at aims. And what if he hits my knee? I'm not protected. So, you know, you hear the word of God, and you believe it, and you receive it. And you know what happens? As you hear the word of God, and you receive it as your own, your faith grows. And that means your shield gets bigger. What we hear builds us up in faith if it's the word of God. What we hear brings us down and it destroys us if it is not the word of God and you do not have your shield up. And I have seen people, and I have done this. I hear something, and I never thought about it before. I had somebody say to me one time, you know, so-and-so moved away. And they haven't contacted me in a long time. And you were even closer than I was. But this other person that hardly even knew this person, they hear from them all the time. Doesn't that bother you? Well, you know, until they said that, I never thought about it. Never had a thought about it. Now that stinking thought is in my head, and I have to deal with it. Thank you very much. What we say can stumble people. And that's why the word said that we are to think on things. In Philippians 4, think on things that are of good report, that are praiseworthy, that are virtuous. These are the things that we are to think about, to meditate on and to consider. And then when I see somebody, I don't have a thought to tell them of how they should be doing better. I have the thoughts to say what a good job they're doing. And I know it's hard, but don't grow weary of well-doing, because God promises us that if we don't grow weary and give up, we will reap a harvest. A harvest, not a plant or two, not one tree that's loaded, a harvest. And that's our hope. As moms, we want our children to be like those trees that are planted near the water, that their roots grow deep and their leaves don't wither. That's what we want. So as moms, we want to make sure that our children know that what they are doing may not help them get there, but this isn't who they are. This is who they are. And this is how you get there. And you may not know exactly where that is. Like, I don't know the destiny of my child to the detail, but I have a good clue whether what God has given them. I see compassion. I see fairness. I see justice. Justice in a man or a woman who is immature in the Lord can look pretty critical. It's justice. It's just coming across critical because they haven't learned how to have that justice and mingle it with kindness. And that's our role as a mom. So what we say as a mom is going to build up or tear down our children and our friends and our husbands and our families and anybody else, because who we speak to, they're either going to receive life or death. Now, when you speak to someone who is going this way, and the big road sign says destruction, and you say to them, this is who you are. This is who God's called you to be, a powerful man or woman of God. Look at how worship lingers in you. Look at how important the words of a song are. That's a sign you're a worshiper. Look at how you treated somebody who was hurting, how you were kind. Look at when you see the little people with the sign that say, help me because I need money. And your heart breaks and you say, can we go buy them some food because I know they're hurting. These are things I see in you. But they're still going to the road that says destruction. And you keep saying, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. You can get really tired of that. You can get really weary of it. And you can grow weary of reminding them who they are. And you can start saying, fine, just go to that stinking road destruction. You don't listen to me anyway. Now that is where your grace has ended. And you forgot to rely on the grace of God that picks up where we end. And those are the things that we can fall into. And so I just want to remind you, number one, do not let the things that you think about be dishonoring or against the word of God. In 2 Corinthians 10, we are told that we have the authority to take down that thing that has risen itself up against the knowledge of Christ. That just means if it says this is the truth and God says this is the truth, then you grab that baby and you bring it down. You say, no, this is what God says. And so the title of my teaching this morning is never, ever, ever give up. Never. I don't care how old your child is. I don't care what path they have picked. I don't care how old your grandchild is. I don't care what path they have picked. I don't care about your mom and your dad and the choices they have made, because I am telling you that our God is faithful and all things are possible. I was so encouraged when I heard that Billy Graham's son, who was in prison for cutting down a tree or something, I don't know how the story right. All I know is that the guy was making all kinds of awful choices, and he didn't come to Christ till he was 50. Billy Graham's son. Wow, did that relieve me? Like, wow, God, if his son's doing that, then I suppose there's hope for mine. There is a stance that we take as a mother. And you can call it lots of things, but a good term is warrior. Now, when you look at me, I'm not very big. I'm not very strong. I have a large vocabulary. But I know who I am in Christ. And I know who the enemy is. And I made a decision a long time ago that if my children are on this side, and this side is the enemy, then this is my stance. And I am not going to be moved. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Aren't I impressive? I can say that with confidence because I also have been blessed by God with friends who came around and said to me, "Didn't you say you were the wall between your child and the enemy?" "Yes, but you don't know how hard it's been." And they just said this to me. And no matter what I do, it doesn't make any difference. But didn't you say this is your stance? Do you see, I could never do this alone. I don't want to do it alone. Anybody here want to do it alone? We all know how much fun that is. The Bible says it is not good for you to be alone. You need at least one person. But three, hey, that's a good stuff. So God in his mercy surrounded me with many because he knew I was going to need it. And they were all going to need a break, so they all had to take turns. I'm telling you, it's not who you are. It's who you are in Christ. And when you submit yourself to the body of Christ and you allow them to be a part of your life, they will stand when you can't. And then you get a turn to stand when they can't. Because there is no temptation taking anybody but that which is common. And I might be tempted today, but tomorrow they may be tempted. So because they picked me up yesterday, today I can stand for them. We don't ever have to do this alone. Women, do not do this alone. You were never meant to be alone. We all want to be good moms. A mother is the very essence of who we are. And when we feel like a failure in our motherhood, there is no lower place that you can go. There's no lower place. You don't even have to say, "Kick me while I'm down," because you're so busy kicking yourself. You don't need any help. But when you remember who you are in Christ, when you allow the words that you have meditated on day and night that bring life and hope to you and to your family, you have something to hang on to. The Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and are saved. Why do we need a strong tower to save us? Because it's a nasty world out there. Because we all have a sin nature. Because sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we think it's never going to end. Sometimes we just want a break. But our God knows, and he has made a way. And I am living proof that I will never get the Mother of the Year award. But my children never come to me and remind me of all the stupid things I said and did. But they bless me. And they remind me of the good things I did. And they say, "How blessed you are that I'm their mom." And people think, "Wow, you have the super mom." They never say, "No, actually, I don't." You would not believe the stories I have to tell about my mother. They say, "Yes." Because something happens in God's faithfulness that when you walk with the Lord and you fall and you get back up and you walk with the Lord and you fall and you get back up, God calls you righteous. He redeems your mistakes. And when your children are older, they rise up and bless you. And I am a testimony of the kindness of God that he continues to do that in my life. So I want to tell you that Hebrews 1 tells us that faith is what we hope for, but the evidence isn't seen yet. So as a mom, those are the things we meditate on, those things that we hope for. And as we hope for those things for our children and our grandchildren, and I don't have them yet, but I look forward to my great-grandchildren, I hope for the things that God is going to do in them. And that gives me a platform. This is hope. I'm on hope. I know what my grandchildren have in them. I've seen it. I don't know their full destiny, but I've seen the things God's placed in them. I see their gifts. I see their personality differences. I see the weaknesses, because they're still little, that are just the opposite of the strengths that they're going to become. And as I stand on hope, and I see, and I speak life, and I speak, and my faith casts something, I grab on, my hope rises. Because, you see, I can't put a time frame on God. That would be foolish. You can all just be grateful right now. I just want you to take a moment and thank God that he does not go by your time frame. If he did, well, we'd be in big trouble. And that's where discontentment comes. Discontentment comes when I look at the time. God, I have been praying for 20 years, and this situation has not changed yet. And I start to think about how it hasn't happened yet. And I start to remember all the things that have happened. And I start to think about how God said, but he's not doing. And you know what happens to my faith? My faith could be way up here until I remember that I've been praying for that healing for 20 years. And God says he's going to heal. And I believe he could heal, but he's not healing. And it's been 20 years. God, do you know how much time I have lost in 20 years? God, do you realize 20 years of sickness? Oh, my gosh, 20 years. All those things I wanted to do with my kids, and I couldn't because I was sick. All those things I wanted to do for you, God, and I'm sick, and my faith starts to wane, and my hope goes down, and the next thing I know, what's coming out of my mouth is, well, I know God heals, but I haven't seen it yet. Now, isn't that a testimony to share with the world? All things are possible, and my God will heal you, but he hasn't healed me yet, and I don't really know why, but, you know, I suppose maybe I don't deserve it. This is what we do. That's why God says, be careful of your thoughts. Make sure that what you're dwelling on is the good things of God, the truth of who he is and what he does, and the confidence that he is going to do what he said he would do. And you never, ever, ever give up. Never. Now, I had a picture. I can call it a vision. I'll sound real spiritual. I don't know what it was. All I know is God went a bloop like that to my brain and gave me an understanding and a picture that went with it to help me understand something. You know, I was on this journey, and in this thing I saw, I was on a journey, and it's a road, and it's a desert, and the desert is like flat. Have you ever been to the desert? It's flat. I mean, there's mountain things that come up, but, you know, your desert is flat, and it's kind of destitute, and yeah, cactus, and a few creatures here and there, and there's some dangers. I mean, you got to be careful in the desert because it gets really cold at night, contrary to what some people think. It gets really hot in the daytime. And there's rattlesnakes, and there's scorpions. You know, there's some things you have to watch for. Thirst, you know, you can die of thirst out there. Heat exhaustion. You get, like, massive sunburn that can really hurt you. And so, you know, but the path is long and it's wide, and it's like, okay, so the Lord said, you know, go on this journey because when you get to the end, it's going to be worth it. And the people I've talked to say, oh man, I'm so excited for that journey you're taking because it's going to be worth it. Oh man, the stories I've heard, you can't wait till you get to the end of that journey. It's going to be so worth it. So like, okay, I can do this. Big, long, big, wide path. I can have my, you know, I can see things from a distance. I can see where, you know, you can see if something's coming. It's like, that's cool. And so I'm taking this journey, and I get to the end of the desert, and I found that at the end of the desert, there was a mountain. So I looked at the mountain, and I said, there's no treasure here, but there's a mountain. I don't get it. I thought that at the end of this road, there's a journey that you blends, and then you get this treasure, right? So where's my treasure? There's no treasure. There's just a mountain. I'm hot. I've been in the desert. I'm kind of thirsty. You know, water's not plentiful there. And as you look at the mountain, you go, okay, now I got to climb. I mean, it's a little greener. There's more water. But then you got, you know, bears and bobcats, and you still have your snakes. And biting spiders, but there is a path. It's not big like the desert, but it's a path. I think I can follow that. Okay. They say it's going to be worth it. They didn't say where the journey ended. They say it's going to be worth it. So I'm here. I don't want to go back. So you head up the mountain, and you're climbing this mountain, and you find out, you know, the air gets kind of thin as you get to the top of the mountain, and the weather changes more radically, and the snow comes early, the snow of all things, it comes early, and you're up in this mountain, and the path gets smaller and smaller. And you know what I discovered at the top of the mountain? You get to go down the other side. There was no treasure there. It was just go down the mountain. And going down a mountain is more treacherous than going up a mountain, from what I understand, because you've got to really grab your footing. Going up, you have a better grip on what's going up. As you're coming down, your grip is back here. You know, you have to kind of climb down. It's pretty crazy. But none of the dangers have changed. And you haven't got your treasure yet, but you know that they said, if you continue and you don't give up, the treasure is awesome. You will be so glad you did this. And so you're trying to focus on, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. But, oh, man, I'm not so crazy about this. And you finally hit the bottom of the mountain. And you look, and there's no treasure. But you know what you do see? A jungle. Now, at this point in my vision that I'm seeing with the Lord, I'm like, okay, God, is this like a joke or what? What are you telling me here? This isn't even right. There's supposed to be a treasure at the end, and it just keeps getting harder, because in the jungle, there is no path. In a jungle, you have lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and the spiders and the snakes. Everything you had before kind of follows you into the jungle. You got crocs. I mean, happens to Murgatroyd. There's baboons. It's not a happy place, and there's no path, because it's so plush and overgrown, and you're now going where no man has gone before. And I go, okay, God, this is, you turn around, you go, oh, I can't do that mountain again. No, I can't do that mountain again. And it's so hard. Sometimes you feel like you're in such a place that you don't still know where to go anymore. And then the Lord put his word in my hand. And it's a sharp, two-edged sword. And I started slicing through that stuff. Because God said, and God said, and I'm going to hit it, and I'm going to go, because I'm not going back. And I found that with the word of God, there became a path where there wasn't before. And you know what that did? It made a way for others to come. Because of the choices I make, my children can come. Because of the choices I make, my grandchildren can follow. It's a journey that never is alone, because God never has us alone. And you know, I never got to the end of that journey before the Lord brought that picture out of my mind and began to speak to me about he being the greatest treasure of all. And he is why we do what we do. Because it blesses him. It pleases him. It furthers his kingdom. It multiplies his army. We are warriors in the kingdom of God who have been given authority to tear down strongholds. We have been given authority to speak life where death is looming. We have been given authority to pray in those things that do not exist. Just as the Father created all things, he said, I can speak into existence that what does not exist, and it will happen. So when I look at my children and I'm not seeing it happen, I speak into it. No, this is what the Lord says. They don't even have to be there to hear it. Because my God is not limited to anything. He holds my prayers before him day and night. So as a mother, as a father, as a child of the King, never, ever, ever give up. Because in the right season, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. In fact, it's so clear. It's so truth. I love the way, I think it was Paul who wrote it in Galatians. He said, do not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. There's like a whole thing that goes together that God says, this is clearly the way it is. I will not be mocked. My word comes to pass. Just like the rain falls from the sky. And then returns again. So my word will never return void. It comes down and it accomplishes what it was sent forth to do. You speak the word of life. You speak the truth of the word. And you never, ever, ever give up. Now I'm going to read this. I read it a few times and I keep crying. I'm not a crier. I hate crying. So if I don't make it, it's Mother's Day. I need my glasses. Sorry. Let me just make a loud noise here. Yes. The God of thunder. God of glory thunders. Okay. I'm going to read this. This is my closing. I know it's shorter this morning, but this is Mother's Day. And we want to enjoy our family. This is called The Warrior. Now, this was a gift given to me by a foster boy that we took in for a few years. But he didn't find it. A dear friend of mine found it and suggested he give it to me for Christmas. So I was blessed to give it to me for Christmas. But I was more blessed because, again, my friends were standing with me. And they were encouraging me in a way, in a time frame that I greatly needed encouraged. This morning, my thoughts traveled along to a place in my life where days have long gone, beholding an image of what I used to be as visions were stirred and God spoke to me. He showed me a warrior, a soldier in place, positioned by heaven. Yet I saw not the face. I watched as the warrior fought enemies that came from the darkness with destruction for me. I saw as the warrior would dry away tears as all of heaven's angels hovered so near. I saw many wounds on the warrior's face, yet weapons of warfare were firmly in place. I felt my heart weeping, my eyes held so much. As God let me feel, the warrior's prayer touched. I thought how familiar the words that were prayed. The prayers were like lightning that never would fade. I said to God, please, the warrior's name. He gave no reply. He chose to refrain. I asked, Lord, who is broken that they need such prayer? He showed me an image of myself standing there, bound by confusion, lost and alone. I felt prayers of the warrior carry me home. I asked, please show me, Lord, this warrior so true. I watched and I wept for Mom. The warrior was you. I know that as a mother, you have fought for your children. And I know that as a mother, you will not settle for anything less than all that God has for them. And I know that sometimes you see yourself broken and not enough. And you think, how can this huge task ever be done by me? But I am telling you, women of God, you are warriors in the kingdom. So you guard your thoughts and you guard your mouth and you speak life and you speak hope. And you stand in the gap for your children. And the day will come when they will rise up. And you will see the work of your hands. And you will see even more the faithfulness of God when your hand wasn't working. And you will know without a shadow of a doubt that your God is the one who will do it. And he'll use you. So whatever happens, and no matter how long you wait, you make your stand. And you don't be moved. And you never, ever, ever give up.